That's what they are actually promoting, free from Western diktats like from the U.S. That does it for this edition of the program. I really enjoyed this topic. However, if you think we left anything out, please let us know. And any critiques along with that, from Mikhail Takvay and the team, it's goodbye until the next Economic Divide.
Insights into the Holy Quran.
Indeed, this Quran guides to what is most upright and gives the good news to the faithful who do righteous deeds, that there is a great reward for them.
In the name of Allah, the Compassionate, the Merciful, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu Alaikum. Welcome to another edition of the program, Insights into the Holy Quran by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hawza Seminary of Qom. Please stay with us.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. Hello everyone, brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi with you with another edition of the program Insights into the Holy Quran. In this edition of the program, we'll try to have a look at the commentary of chapter Shu'ara, the 26th chapter of the Holy Quran. We'll be back after you listen to the verses we're going to discuss in this episode. Dear listeners, now let's listen to 221st, 222nd, and 223rd verses of Surah Ash-Shu'ara.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
هَلْ أُنَبِّئُكُمْ عَلَى مَنْ تَنَزَّلُ الشَّيَاطِينَ.
Shall I inform you upon whom the devils descend?
تَنَزَّلُ عَلَى كُلِّ أَفَّاكٍ أَثِيمٍ.
They descend upon every sinful liar.
يُلْقُونَ السَّمْعَ وَأَكْثَرُهُمْ كَاذِبُونَ.
They pass on what is heard, and most of them are liars.
As you were previously with us regarding the previously discussed verses, we mentioned the fact that the pagans considered this revelation, this Holy Quran, is sent down as the descent of the Satans upon the Prophet ﷺ. But Allah decisively announced that the Satans come down only onto lying sinful ones. And this Quran is not sent down by these Satans. مَا تَنَزَّلَتْ بِهِ الشَّيَاطِينَ, the Holy Quran said, and it behooves them not, actually. So,
We had two different kinds of descent. One is the descent of revelation by the means of a trustworthy angel, and the other is the descent of the Satans on polluted persons. And the fact is that these polluted persons have prepared themselves. They have set the scene for receiving this kind of satanic temptation. So, and it is actually the case that whatever the Satans heard, they inspired unto their friends, and they added those hearings with many lies. So the verse says, they listen, يُلْقُونَ السَّمْعَ, they listen eagerly to the Satans, and most of them are liars. We should know that the origin of any sin is falsehood, and it is even more dangerous than them. So the heart which makes lie is the place where Satan's come down. But the one who receives revelation of the Holy Quran is only the heart of the Prophet ﷺ, which is infallible, which is immaculate. And this is the case. This is the criterion for the one who wants to receive revelations. And this is the case.
على مر الزمان تألقا وأضاء لي الدنيا طريقا.
We hope and pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with the ability to cover more of His divine
In this
word.
Series of programs, we will inshallah discuss the Holy Quran with a thematic
approach. We will inshallah discuss the chapter.
تعلقا وتلاه في جنح الدجى متدبرا.
The context in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks in this verse is the context of mentioning the ills and problems and evils of the people of the book, the previous nations who have received revelation, and more particularly the Jew.
Now let's listen to some of the verses of the Holy Quran.
First, let's listen to a few verses.
Now let's listen to some verses of the Holy Quran.
Insights into the Holy Quran by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hawza Seminary of Qom.
So it is only the heart of the Prophet ﷺ who is ready to receive the revelation of the Holy Quran. His heart is prepared by being immaculate for the descent of revelation. But the one who has prepared himself by committing sins, by being ignorant of the signs of his Lord, is now ready for receiving satanic temptations. Why? The Holy Quran says, تَنَزَّلُ عَلَى كُلِّ أَفَّاكٍ أَثِيمٍ. They come down on every lying sinful one. And it is interesting that there has been cited in Majma'ul Bayan that the Satans eavesdrop from angels and they inspire unto soothsayers and sorcerers. And this situation, this kind of circumstance existed before the advent of the Prophet of Islam sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They used to eavesdrop, they used to understand anything from the angels, and they used to inspire these understandings onto their friends, added with many lies. But this situation somehow changes after the advent of the Holy Prophet ﷺ. At the present time, if a Satan intends to eavesdrop, it will encounter a fiery meteor. And this is what the Holy Quran says. This will not be allowed for the Satans. Because now after the advent of the Holy Prophet, his heart is ready by being immaculate and infallible to receive these revelations of the Holy Quran, and the Satans are not allowed to get even close to him. That's why the Holy Quran says, مَا تَنَزَّلَتْ بِهِ الشَّيَاطِينَ. This is a decisive answer and proof. We are done with these couple of verses, dear listeners. Thank you for staying with us. We ask the Almighty Allah to set us among the guided ones and the people of the straight path. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Don't be saddened by what you see, by all the lies and treachery. Life is cruel, but don't worry. In your heart lies the key to unwind all the secrets. This life we see.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at EnglishRadio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parstoday.com. Until the next program, take care.
Things always work for me, worry, and that's when faith begins.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program.
First methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who believe, ista'inu bis sabri was salah.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum. Now it's time to listen to a short speech by Sayyid Muhammad Rizvi.
We proudly call ourselves Shia of Ali because he has been introduced by the Prophet of Islam as Amir al-Mu'mineen. He is the chief of the believers. We are the mu'mineen. He is our amir. He is our leader. And he is our guide. But let me begin with talking about, you know, the concept. Who were the early Shias? Shiaism is not a deviation from the main path of Islam later on. This is what we hear all the time, that this started after Karbala or during the days of the 5th and the 6th Imam. Shiaism actually is continuation of the true Islam of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Even during the days of the Prophet, there were some companions of the Prophet who were very close to Ali. And even during the days of the Prophet, they were known as Shi'atu Ali. So Shiaism is not something we started later on. It was there. It is actually the name for the true, you know, face of Islam brought by the Prophet. Kitab al-Zina is actually a book written by Abu Hatim Sajistani. This is a Muslim scholar who died in the year 250 after Hijrah. So we are talking about before even the Ghaybat started from our, you know, historical context. And this big book is one of the earliest book which talks about the different theological groups among Muslims. And there it's very interesting. He says, you know, talking about the term Ash-Shi'a, not the Shi'a, just like by itself. In Arabic, when you say Alif Lam, it becomes the Shi'a. So you're talking about a specific group of followers of someone. And he says that when we look at in the days of the Prophet, the title Ash-Shi'a was used for those who loved Ali ibn Abi Talib or were known for it. Then he gives the names, such as Salman al-Farsi, Abu Dhar al-Ghifari, Miqdad bin Aswad al-Kindi, Ammar bin Yasir, and others. They were known as Shia of Ali and Ashab of Ali. So this clearly shows that when we talk about this concept of Shiaism, the presence of Shia of Ali was there even during the days of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so that is the basis of, you know, talking about the Ashab of Ali, to understand, you know, what Ali is expecting from us as his Shia and follower. However, it's important to understand that when we talk about the Ashab of Ali, or even Ashab of Rasulullah, or the Shias in general, or the Mu'mineen, remember they are not everyone is on the same level. They are darajat and levels of Iman. There is, you know, grading of the Mu'mineen. Because when we talk about the phenomenon known as Iman, which is a, you know, inner issue, not just the words on the tongue, Iman resides in the heart. Iman is not a static entity. It is not like a wood. This is what will be there even 10 years from now. It's not going to increase or decrease. Iman is a phenomenon which has this potential of increasing as well as the potential of decreasing. In Surah Fath, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in ayat number 48, He says, هو الذي أنزل السكينة في قلوب المؤمنين. Allah is the one who sent down tranquility, sakina, in the hearts of the believers. لِيَزْدَادُ إِيمَانًا مَعْ إِيمَانِهِمْ, so that he may increase the Iman with their existing Iman. It means that the Iman is already there, but now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by sending down the sakina, the tranquility, the level of their Iman will even increase. مَعْ إِيمَانِهِمْ لِيَزْدَاد, as it means izdiyad, to make it even more. And this is where we have to realize that, you know, when we talk about the levels of Iman, you know, I would like to go to the famous hadith. You must have heard it many, many times, but in this context, Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam, talking to one of his companions by the name of Abdullah al-Qaratisi. Qaratis, qirtas, paper. He was in the business of, you know, selling papers. You have Tammar, Misam Taibmar, his trade was selling debts. So you have, you know, Jamal, all these. So Abdul Aziz al-Qaratisi, the narrator here, Imam is talking to him and he says, Imam says, Ya Abdul Aziz, Inna al-Iman ashara darajat bimanzilati sullam. O Abdul Aziz, Iman is of 10 levels, just like the ladder or the stairs. يُسْعَدُ مِنْهُ مِرْقَاطًا بَعْدَ الْمِرْقَاطِ. You will go from one step to another. So it is something that you have to keep in mind, that Iman is not static. Wherever we are now should not be aware, I'm already, alhamdulillah, you know, born in a Shia family, I'm a Shia, it's not Shari, and that's the end of the story. No. There are many, many darajat. And then towards the end of it, the sixth Imam is talking about the early Shias, and then he identifies three individuals. وَكَانَ الْمِقْدَادُ فِي الثَّامِنَةِ. Miqdad was on the eighth level. وَعَبُو ذَرَ فِي التَّاسِعَةِ. Abu Zar was on the ninth level. وَسَلْمَانَ فِي الْعَاشِرَةِ. And Salman was on the 10th level. Salawat padhne ek baar aur. You know, some people look at this hadith, they say, Maulana, there seems to be a problem there. Why Ali is not mentioned? You should push Salman down, bring Ali there on the 10th level. Baba, this is the wrong question you are asking. Ali is not a level of Iman. He is the condition of Iman. Rasulullah mentioned these words to him, quoted by even Sunni, you know, muhaddisin, where he says, Ya Ali, la yuhibbuka illa mu'min, wa la yubghidhuka illa munafiq. O Ali, nobody loves you but a mu'min, and nobody hates you but a munafiq. So basically, this love of Ali is the litmus test for a Muslim's iman. Even in his life, Ansar used to say that we used to actually identify the munafiqeen among us by looking at their hatred towards Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
روحي كريم عظيم عليم حليم حكيم متين غفور شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف صبور مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صلوا
under the starry sky of the desert. From the very heart of evergreen forests. With the radiance of silver-colored sand. In the midst of proud mountains. Closer, Iran.
Salam. I'm a nature enthusiast and traveler. In Close Up Iran, I introduce you to the wonders and beauties of my country, Iran. Stay with me. Oh, it's beautiful. It's extraordinary. Oh, I'm talking about Fandoglu Forest in Ardabil province. Hold on, please. Hold on. Believe it is a Caspian red deer. It will run away if it
it fills my presence. The Caspian red deer is one of the easternmost subspecies of red deer that is native to the Caspian Sea region in Iran. It's sometimes referred to as maral. It's really beautiful. I'm very lucky. Oh no, it ran away. Anyway, in a nutshell, here is like paradise. And there are many beautiful things to see in this paradise. Fandoghlu Forest is one of the most beautiful forests in Iran, located in Ardabil province, northwestern Iran. Fandoghlu Forest is located in the highlands of Ardabil near the city of Namin. This forest is somewhat different from the other ones in Iran because of its eye-catching plains, variety of wild hazelnuts, and hot water springs. Fandoghlu Forest is located at an altitude of 1,500 meters and enjoys a pleasant climate. Fandoghlu Forest has great beauty in spring. From May to late June, growing a white plain of chamomile flowers along with this beautiful forest attracts many tourists to this pristine natural area. Chamomile flowers have unique healing properties, and chamomile in the form of essential oils and using it in the tea helps to relieve stress. Studies have also shown that chamomile flowers have good and positive anti-cancer properties. Wow! Look! What a passionate presence! There are many tourists here. If you happen to take a trip to Ardabil province, don't hesitate to visit this forest. This forest has no match in the world. Oh, there are many hazelnut trees here. It's a blessing, thank God. So generous. And that is why this forest is called Fandoghlu. In Farsi language, Fandogh means hazelnut. And look at these raspberry bushes. Oh, I can't help myself. Very delicious. Wish you were here. percent of Fandoghlu Forest are vast plains. So I'm walking toward the famous plain of chamomile flowers, which is along this forest. And the air is entirely clean and fresh. It's great. And it's so calm in here. All I can say about here is that
It's a worldly paradise. It's unique, mesmerizing. It's like dreams. Oh, look at this plain. A white plain of chamomile flowers. This plain looks like postcard pictures. All I need is a camera. Good. These flowers are not just beautiful. They have many medicinal advantages. They have unique healing properties. June, there will be a big festival where the handicrafts of this region, as well as its customs and traditions, will be displayed. Yes, Iran is the land of blessings.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
The presence of different scholars. IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. We welcome to another episode of the program Viewpoints, an analysis on the thoughts and speeches of the Supreme Leader of Islamic Republic of Iran, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei. I am Atta, the host of this program. With me in the studio, we have two very special guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom, Sayyid Mohsen and Brother Salim. Sayyid Mohsen, assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah.
And Brother Salim, assalamu alaikum to you.
Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
So on different occasions, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei has addressed the issue of Palestine and Israel and why Israel is a threat to today's world. This is the main question for today's discussion. Sayyid Mohsen, let's start with you. Why do you think Israel is a threat to the world?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, obviously, we know that Israel has occupied the Palestinian land. And for ages, the people were living in peace in the land of Palestine. And the existence of Israel itself is a question mark near Jews. Obviously, we have two kinds of Jews. One is Zionists, which were made by a special group backed by UK and US. And obviously, they were deployed by these regimes in the land of Palestine, so that they can have control over the Muslim world. Because you know the land of Palestine has an importance, especially for the Middle East, we can say, and the Eastern countries as well. Therefore, because this is something which has been plotted by the enemies of Islam, and also obviously they occupied the land, even the Christians don't have their rights the way they used to live before the existence of Israel, before the Israelis or Zionists, they occupied this land. Therefore, it is a great threat. On top of that, we see that in all over the world, whenever the country, especially the superpowers, when they want to make decisions, in their decisions, they are considering the Zionist regime mm-hmm. and its existence.
Yes.
And this is all the war for the power, because the superpowers want to get all the powers in their hands. And therefore, in order to get their power, they need their people to be plotted at different places.
That's right.
One of those, we can say, servants who were deployed by the U.S., we can say, regime is the Zionist regime.
Okay, that's all right. Okay, the same question for you, Brother Salem. Do you consider Israel as a threat to the world, and why?
Maybe in the viewpoint that Israel, like a poison in the bowl of maybe treasures. When we think about Israel, we think again about the world. Because Israel, they see themselves as the central of the world, mm-hmm. and they have their own ideology, how to control the human being and how to control the world. So behind this idea, they can create any problem, and they can make any problem in the world. It's not just Palestine only, or mm-hmm. in the land of Palestine or Palestine. So according to their idea, to control the human being around the world is their purpose of being here in the world. And since they believe are chosen people in the world and other people are the of the second grade okay. of the human being, according to this idea, I think they are threatening the world.
Now and you are talking about the Zionists, not all the Jews around the world.
We have the Zionists who believe mm-hmm. being of this government is legal. Mm-hmm. And we have the Judaism, or we can call, or in Islam, what they call Yehud.
Yes.
These people, they have their own belief. We are talking about their religion beliefs. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we're talking about what they believe now.
Yes.
In their books and in their belief that all people around the world are of the second grade.
Yes.
This is their general
yes.
belief
okay.
as a whole. And you have those who believe now is the time to control, now is the time to have this type of the government or not. This is another group who we call them Zionism or Zionist.
That's
so these are two parts. The idea, general idea, the same.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
this is my opinion, of course.
That's all right. So in this way, it could be a threat to the world. I mean, having a look as a second grade or second class of the society to all the people around the world.
Yeah.
And let's get back to the establishment of Israel in this region. We know that, you know, these lands used to be called Palestine, and day by day, you know, many parts of these lands were changed into Israel. So many countries, of course, all around the world still consider Israel as an illegitimate country, illegitimate land, consider it as a threat to the world. But now the question is that why this part of the world, Said Mohsen, as, I mean, the ideal land for the establishment of a country like Israel? This is a big question.
Well, obviously, for the Jews, this land is very important. This is important for Muslims as well, and the Christians as well.
Okay.
Because most of the prophets, when they were, they were raised in these lands.
Okay.
This was the land of, you know, the Palestine, Iraq, Iran. These were yes. the lands, or Saudi Arabia, the Arabistan, Hejaz, what we can call it. But most of the prophets, like Prophet Abraham, because, you know, the Jews and the Christians and the Muslims, they all say that they're following they are from the Abrahamic religions. Mm-hmm. These are known as Abrahamic religions. Therefore, they are rooted in these lands. And we have the prophets, for example, Prophet Suleiman, Prophet Dawood. All these prophets were in these lands. That's why this is one of the reasons. The second thing is that according to their religious books, according to the religious books of the, you know, the Jews, the land of Palestine is being made for them, what they say. And they say that this is something which was specified by God for them.
Okay.
And even we know that when, Bakhtun Nasr, he came and he freed these Jews from the, you know, the Romans, he also sent them to the same land, which is at this time is known as Palestine. So this is what they believe in. But you know that this is not the real case, because they changed the original scripts, which were there. And through the scripts, they're trying to basically show that this is what we have and this is what we need to have. On the other hand, we have the, you know, their statements, religious statements, where it says that the whole land is for the Jews and they cannot own the land because all of the land is for them. That's why it's the main Jews are against the Zionism.
Is it only limited to the boundaries, I mean, of today's Palestine and today's Israel?
Well, this is what...
Or no, it would be more than that. I mean, the general map in the minds of Israel is more than that.
Obviously, the main thing which they started with, the Zionist regime, we are talking, not about the Judaism itself.
Yes.
In the Zionism, obviously, they started with this land, small land. But in the world, whatever you see which is negative, the negative movements, the political negative movements, for example, or other kinds of movements, they all are backed by Zionist regime.
Okay.
Even you can see in Ukraine, you can see in Ukraine, you can see in Jordan, maybe, you know, other countries, Muslim countries or non-Muslim countries. Wherever we see that something is happening and that is negative, it is backed by Zionist regime. And they're spending a lot of money over there. They're investing this money. So basically, this is not limited to this land. And what they want is actually it goes back to some religious beliefs as well.
Yes.
Because we all believe in the last savior.
Okay.
For example, we believe in Imam Mahdi to be the last savior, alayhi salatu wasalam. And Christians, they believe in Jesus Christ. And the Judaism or the Zionist regime, they believe in Antichrist, which is known as Dajjal.
Do they?
So they have this in, the, in their books, obviously. So this Antichrist, or we can say like, you know, the beliefs that they have, according to that, they need to rule over the world.
Okay.
And they have to take the power of all the world. So it has different roots, we can say. And there are different aspects. We cannot say, like, this is the ultimate goal or this is the ultimate thing that they believe. Because there are different aspects, and through those aspects, when you combine all of that, then you see the bigger image of things that are happening.
And Brother Salim, where does this sense of supremacy come from? Is it because of the historical heritage that they have? For example, we know that the Temple of Solomon exists over there. You know, they say that big, big treasures, you know, have been inherited to Israeli powers over there. Of course, there is a big historical background behind Israel and the establishment of Israel over there. But where does this sense of supremacy come from? Because as we see in the true religions, you are never invited to be supreme or to feel proud about the other nations or the other, for example, religions or this or that. All you are invited is to peace. You are invited to encouraging into interreligious dialogues and something like that. Where does this sense come from? Is it a new phenomenon of today's world?
Of course, I think it based in their books. Even in Quran we have, but it's not only to Israel Allah spoke like that. We have again about Muslim and what we call Muslim nation. Allah said, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر. Even to Islam, Allah has said like that. But if we will take this as a base for appetite or a base of what to call yourself noble people.
Yes.
And this has started from there. Since Allah told you, you are chosen people, you are not chosen people to be supremacy in the world, to have this supremacy in the world and to proud of this. If you are okay, follow God, follow as what Allah has wanted from you and recommended to do that and to follow the Sharia or to follow the law. Okay, you are maybe the best, but even the prophets themselves were the best one in the world and the perfect people what we believe in, perfect human being. But they didn't say we are chosen, so we are the best and we are more than you. We have more humanity than you. We haven't this. Mm-hmm. So since they have this belief and they have the books which talks about this idea and says that you are chosen people since you have a lot of anbiya or prophets from your tribe or from Nabi Yaqub.
Yes.
Because Nabi Yaqub is the father of this nation.
Yes.
But when we refine, we go back, these are not just the now idea from the Hitler time again before the World War I, World War II.
Yes.
Have the same idea, they had the same idea. And that's why Hitler was had the hatred against the Jews who were living in that land. So this is the old idea. And in my opinion, it's not accepted, because even Muslims, they can claim this. Yes. Say, we are chosen people like you, but we are the best because the final book belongs to us.
The final prophet.
Prophet and final book, the Quran. Yeah. And this is what told us, kuntum khayra ummah. So we have to kill other, we have to occupy other lands. Do we have this idea, or we have to believe in this or not?
Of course, this extremism has shown itself among the ISIS members, you know, as the Muslims, because they believed in such, we can say, being better than others, you know, killing this, killing that. I do want to say that this radicalism, you know, and the radical thought in any religion is not encouraged at all, whether it be Christianity or Judaism or Islam. Thank you very much, Sayyid Mohsen and Brother Salim.
God bless you.
It was very kind of you. And thank you much, dear listeners. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.ir, Call of Islam page. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanillah.
Every day we tell each other that this day will be the last, and tomorrow we all can go home free, and all this will finally end. Palestine, tomorrow will be free. Palestine, tomorrow will be free. Father, to wipe away my tears, that's why I will cry. I feel scared, but I won't show my fears. I keep my head high, deep in my heart, I never have any doubt. The Palestine, tomorrow will be free. Palestine, tomorrow will be free.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily round the clock for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellite. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 25 meters, 11,645 kilohertz, every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 megahertz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا.
Your Lord has decreed that you shall not worship anyone except Him, and He has enjoined kindness to parents.
For humanity.
Sayyid Abdullah Al-Musawi.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Brothers, sisters, dear listeners, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to the program For Humanity. We are looking at the traits that makes the human being transgress. Traits that makes a human being takes the right of other people. Traits that makes a person obviously doom himself and not only loses his wealth, but it loses his akhirah. And if me and you are not aware of these traits, we don't put enough emphasis on ourselves to understand them, we can get ourselves in trouble. So these are moral vices, moral diseases, just like a normal disease, a normal illness. If you're not aware of it, and sometimes when we have lack of medical information, and sometimes we deliberately do something and then it ends up harming our body only because we had no information, this is the same. We need to understand so we can prevent, we can learn. So one of the traits that we spoke about before, which is in the Quran, is the concept of tughyan, the concept of transgressing, the concept of when a person uses the blessings of Allah, uses what Allah has given him in order to create havoc on himself and those around him. And obviously, tughyan manifests itself in different ways, in many ways than one. One of the ways that tughyan is manifested is through money, through wealth. Allah says in the Quran, لَقَدْ سَمِعَ اللَّهُ قَوْلَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ فَقِيرٌ وَنَحْنُ أَغْنِيَا. He says, Allah heard the call of those who said, God is poor and we are rich. سَنَكْتُبُ مَا قَالُوا. Surely we will document what they have said. وَقَتْلُهُمُ الْأَنْبِيَاءَ بِغَيْرِ حَقٍ. And for the fact that they used to kill the prophets without any justification. وَنَقُولُ ذُوقُوا عَذَابَ الْحَرِيقِ. Taste the fire. Now, Amir al-Mu'mineen salamullahi alayhi says, إِنَّمَا نَزَلَتْ هَذِهِ الْآيَةِ فِي أَصْحَابِ الصَّفَّةِ أَوْ لَوْ بَسْطَرَ اللَّهُ الرِّزْقَ لِعِبَادِهِ لَبَغَوْا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَكِنْ يُنَزِّلِ بِقَدْرٍ مَا يَشَاءُ. Now, الصَّفَّة, it's a place next to the masjid where the poor Muslims used to live in. They have no houses to go to, they have no wives, nothing. So all the poor Muslims, they would live under that kind of designated place next to the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now these people would always want to have more, right? They were pushing. So they were saying, لَوْ أَنَّ لَنَا. If only we had. فَتَمَنَّوا الدُّنْيَا, Amir al-Mu'minin says. And they wanted this dunya. And then he says, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَيَطْغَى. الْغِنَى يُطْغِي. Once a person has wealth, he becomes a transgressor. So these people are Safa, which the ayah before I recited, and then once he become rich, people will say, well, God is poor and we are rich. So they not even, they go against their own kind. But then they start to go against Allah directly. They start to think they are rich and God has nothing. I have more money than God. That's the phrase that people use when they see that they have a bit of money, which is kufr in itself. Before we continue, let us take a short break and then we will come back.
Dear listeners, you are listening to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. You can send us your emails, comments, and questions at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters, and you are listening to the program For Humanity. Amir al-Mu'mineen salamullah alayhi, he says, when he talks about the human being and he talks about his tughyan, his transgression, he says, in afadahu malan atghah, the human being, once he gets money, he will transgress. Wa an adattu faqatun shaghalahu al-bala, and once a calamity comes to him, then he'll be occupied with this calamity. Wa in asabathu musibatun fadahu al-jaza, and when a calamity falls upon him, the despair will expose him. So this is how the human being is. This is what we are made of. If we're giving too much, we will transgress. If Allah takes away everything from us, we will despair. And there's only one lenient way, which is to be in the middle, not to go too far, not to go too less. And then the Imam says, ثَرْوَةُ الْمَالِ تُرْدِي وَتُدْغِي وَتُفْنِي. The wealth that a person gets, it will make you bad, it will make you transgress, and then it will destroy you, it will demolish you. That's the sequence when it comes to dealing with money. So we have to understand that not everything is good, even though it might seem positive to look at. So having wealth seems to be good. Having more children seems to be good. If a male have more spouses, it seems to be good. And so on and so forth. These are, you know, we say, oh, the more the merrier. That's how we say. But we have to keep in mind that with every of these blessings comes problems, comes troubles, and at least responsibility follows as well. If we don't use them correctly, then we would be on the wrong side of the fence. So if at a time you see that you have a little bit extra money, it is not a time for you to go spending it, or time for you to go wasting it, or time for you to go, I don't know, try to live an extravagant life, as you can see online with all these videos coming out, where people show you their houses and their cars and even their seats. The, you know, lavatory seats are made from gold. Now, this is tughyan. This is when a person doesn't know what to do with his life anymore. And all he wants to do is transgress against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and transgress towards his fellow human beings. So we need to learn to control our egos, to control our desires, to control ourselves. Because the self, like Amir al-Mu'mineen says, is like a wild horse. If you don't tame it, if you don't hold on to the leash, it will definitely throw you out of its back. And you can imagine what would happen to a person who falls from the back's horse. At least, to say the least, he will be damaged, or he will hurt himself. And some people, as we've seen, they lost limbs and lost their lives as and the consequence. So we have to be very careful. When it comes to Tughyan transgression, we have to maintain that trait. We will continue in the next episode. So until then, stay with us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
اللهم صل وسلم على الرسول وآل النبي العظيم.
The wildfires in Greece, Turkey, the United States.
Palestinian prisoners in Israeli jails continue to engage in hunger strikes.